wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Radio Avenger, it's the Avengers time. Paul Revere of here on republicbroadcasting.org. I'm happy to be here. God willing, it will be a very productive afternoon. We'll be just you and I, the two of us, and nobody else except a couple of monitors and spies and, you know, ne'er-do-wells and so on and so forth, but we can handle it. Today is the 21st. Of December, from what I'm told, and we're wending our way down to the middle of the week, and Christmas Day coming up very shortly. We'll talk about that, have some special features for you to listen to. Definitely want to focus not on the conception of Jesus as much, or the birth of Jesus, but on Jesus, and that's the point. You know, I read in Isaiah, and we read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, of course, in the King James translated version. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, true peace, not fake peace, kind of peace we hear about always in the media today. And that day will come. But first, the war. The war must come first. War that must be completed. The battle is won, but the destruction of Satan and his children. So we're heading for that home stretch, folks. And I have to tell you, I've just finished the book of Revelation a couple of days or so ago. And that means I finished the whole scriptures. Amen. I actually went through the whole Bible. As you know, I started about 4 years ago. And from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm very happy. I have gleaned a lot out of it, much more than I had thought about before, than I had absorbed before, and for that I am eternally grateful. And I'm starting, I said, what am I going to do now? Let's start reading it again, you know, a hard copy in front of me, or online, what should I use? So I just started toying with the idea again the other day, and I started. Believe it or not, I did start doing it again. I just started reading, not chapter by chapter every day, but just you know, a few verses here, a few verses there in order, and I've just completed two chapters on chapter 3 of Genesis. Yep, and again, I see the incredible marvel of God, the incredible depth to which people are totally divorced from today. They have no understanding of who and what God is. They really, truly don't. They don't know the omniscience, the power, the omnipotence, the omnipresence of the Creator himself. And now I'm getting to see that more clearly than ever before. We know we have an enemy. We know the enemy is real. And the enemy, Satan himself, who rebelled against God in the first earth and heaven age, he's done it again. And he has children. So he and his children are very busy. They think they can pull it off. They think they can actually run the world. Oh, how deceived. Oh, how foolish. Oh, how childish. Oh, how absolutely, you know, abominable the very idea is. Because they say, they tell the world they are God, and they are God's children. Yes, they're no different from anybody else. Don't believe those nasty things that they say about us. We say hello, good morning, Mrs. Jones, when we greet the goy, the Gentiles on the street. We're the rabbis. We're the teachers, the preachers. We're very kind to people. Walk them across the street, carry their shopping bags in. You know, Satan wants to appear very nice. He doesn't want to appear in these stupid Hollywood productions as a grotesque creature. You know, with the pitchfork, the horns, the red suit, none of that stuff. If he did, the gig would be up. People would know. But no, Satan is so beguiling, just as he was in this Garden of Eden. We have to remember that. And that's why in the book of Revelation, in chapter 18, you know, my favorite verses are all there. If you read about it, and you know that the scriptures make it mighty clear that the Lord has sung mightily, and actually he comes with a strong voice from Satan, from God's paradise, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon is gone. It's fallen. It's done. It's over. And it is overcome. Yes, the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every single evil and unclean spirit on the earth. And there are many unclean spirits. And in chapter 18, verse 3, for all of the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have made what? Fornication with her. They've committed adultery. They've jumped into bed with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed quite rich through the delicacies and the abundance of her delicacies. So we know we're dealing with Babylon, this whole captivity. And we're dealing with the city that God reserved for himself forever, Jerusalem. They own it now, they think. They occupy it now, they think. And with Trump's help, they'll be able to marshal forth all of the world and control it all according to their plan. He serves us. He's our president. He is the best president Israel ever had. Fake Israel, of course. Well, folks, you know, actions do speak louder than just mere words. And that's something we can never lose sight of. Now, today, I have planned some special things. And you know what? Because of the nature of the week that we're dealing with, I want to be, you know, forthright, heavy, not compromising the solemnness of the times we live in, but at the same time, giving a little bit of inspiration and some uplifting thoughts and some voices that all of you, I think, will remember and know. So we can edify ourselves in these days of apostasy that are here, and the declension that is here, and the you know, the fake prosperity that is coming after the locust army spoken of in the Old Covenant, the Gospels in Joel, and they will take it all. They're going to clean house. They're going to empty bank accounts. Never before have we seen such an economic malaise affecting the world. And yet, if you listen to all of the drivel in this past week, I didn't, this past week's impeachment vote in the House, well, obviously, you know, you'll hear the lies. You'll hear the falsifications. Trump is taking credit for the wonderful economic news. He's even boasting. Look at the good things I've done for America. How dare you say I have abused power. I'm obstinate and I'm an obstructionist and all of these things. Look, I was the only president who granted Israel's wish, the state that is, and moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Look at all the good things I've done. And those are the very things that he should be impeached for. He should be prosecuted for. He should be removed from office for. And those are the things they all coalesce on, with a few minor dissents, of course, that make it look good. But in reality, it's a topsy-turvy world, isn't it? Everything is upside down. You can't make sense of it because it's not intended to make sense. It's a dystopian world, a total dystopia. And their utopia, to straighten it out, is the actual New World Order concept, to bring this whole world, this new order, out of the old, to fruition. And it's a satanic order. It's an evil order, but it's sold to us as good. I've never seen a time when the gospel and the book of Revelation have come alive so greatly as now, with the sting of the scorpion, the numbness of the public. If you look at them, there's shootings, real shootings, you know, every day in our society. I'm not referring to the fakes that we've been focusing on, the mass shootings and the media-driven frenzy for gun control, but in our local communities, people have guns and they misuse them and they take up arms and commit acts of violence. That's real. We can see it. We just had one in my state. And, you know, it's rage, a time of rage, a time of unhappiness, a time of war, conflict, you know, and disunity. We can see all of this happening. And now we're knowing that it cannot continue. The economic boom, as Mr. Trump and Pence and the Congress would call it, is no economic boom. It's a balloon, not a boom. And a balloon is going to burst, and it's going to cause calamity, whatever they want it to do. I mean, let's face it, they are in control. A lot of hosts, a lot of others who do talk radio always come up and say, it's out of control. Even the banksters don't know what to do. And I say, phooey, baloney, it's not out of control. They know what they've done. They created a Frankenstein monster, and that monster is ready to come off the table and go out of the house and devour whoever is in his way. And that's what they have done. The Keynesian economic model, the Galbraithian economic model, whatever it might be, folks, it is designed to fail. God's money, honest money, will not fail. That's why they had to take us off. You know, December, with thinking of Christ and the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb, and December is a month when so much evil has been done in the world and in our own country in just the last 150 years. I can't name them all, but a lot of good things happened in that month, too. But it's just amazing how, as we draw close to Christmas time, how wars have been planned. Fake attacks have been planned. Pearl Harbor, of course, many of them that we've spoken about numerous times. The Federal Reserve System, the quorum votes when Congress was on Christmas recess to implement these evils, these monetary devices and control grids that would bring America under the heel, the boot of the enemy within. The enemy within that calls itself our friend. Oh, what a misnomer. Oh, what a hoax. Oh, what an anachronism. Well, you know, folks, again, this month is a time when we think of the good things, and the best thing of all is Christ, the Redeemer, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. However, at this time, we also think of the Bush Doctrine, the Bush Wars, going to war against Saddam Hussein. You know, we think about getting to the end of the year, trying to prepare our hearts and minds for a closer relationship with God, and then, boom, Satan comes along and plans another attack, another war, another economic collapse, whatever it might be, a plague, a rampage of control grids and of disease, you know, the great plague, the 1918 debacle, which claimed the lives of incredible numbers of people, millions of people. All of these things, the byproduct of World War I, excuse me, leading to the Great Depression, leading to the next war, all of them planned, all of them were created for a reason, to destroy true Israel America, bring her down so that it could be dissolved in a one-world globalist system. That's the byproduct. Now, we can see it. We can see what wars have done to us. The Afghani war now is the most, probably in the 21st century, undoubtedly the most criminal war. All lies sold to us as truth, sold to us again in the name of protecting freedom and fighting for democracy, when in fact nothing could be further from the truth. So Satan's very busy on this planet, folks. And you know what I thought? I give you like probably four links, four clips today on the program to make you think about where we are in history. The farce that we just heard from this week in Washington, all is well. If we just dump Trump and bring in the Democrats in the Senate, all is well. The Republicans saying the exact same thing. Get rid of the Democrats in the House. We'll bring in Republicans. We'll switch more party affiliations, as some have just done in the last few months, and we'll save America. It's not about saving America. America's not savable. It's about having a human king and a human dictatorship to reign over us. How often have I said that? I told you right from day one, 3 years ago, I told you they want a King Saul. Americans want a better king than the despotic King Obama we had before him. A better king, one who's less ominous, who's less treacherous. And what do they get? More of the same. We switched from Tweedledee to Tweedledum. We changed the safety pins, but not the diaper. And it doesn't get any clearer to me. So I thought I'd begin, I believe, if Ken is ready, with the first clip of a guy by the name of Paul Harvey. You remember him? The great Paul Harvey? And what he had to say, if I were the devil, this is one of his famous shall we call it, maybe his missives. So let's hear what Paul Harvey said a number of years ago, and you see if it hasn't come to pass for America.
If I were the devil, I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect the discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it, until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what will you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun. But what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were to bellow, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
New videos every day.
Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes. Oh, we're back, folks. And, Satan is quite successful at what he does. And, unfortunately, though we have to admit it, his children are very busy and very happy with what they are doing. And, you know, they are successful. They're doing quite a job, a bang-up job, you know, whether it's Larry David or someone who likes to urinate on murals of Christ, or Annie Springle going back to the chocolate lady, and Sarah Silverman, people like that who deride Jesus and say if they had the chance they'd like to kill him again. You know, this is what is Hollywood fair today, and this is what has been the case for a long time. There was a time, of course, when there were people, there were stalwarts in Hollywood, actors in particular, who were of the right tribes, you know. And they would stand up, and they would take good roles in good movies. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't take the movie, you know. And, John Wayne had to finance the Alamo because he really couldn't get the kind of financial backing from the studios, and it was a very good and successful movie. And a host of others, too. One I can think of now is Walter Brennan. We're going to play a song of his. He's actually singing. Walter Brennan was an accomplished actor. He was in World War I. He got disgusted. He started to research and understand that everything we see is a staged event, essentially, a farce. And I know he was a lifelong member of the John Birch Society, and then the God, Family, and Country rallies of like 1969-70 in Boston, Massachusetts. He actually was there with his wife, and he's from the Boston area, you know, originally. And he supported the work of the Birch Society at the time, and like I say, he was a stalwart, an Academy Award winner. Movies. Kentucky is a classic movie, you know, the derbies and then the horses and so on and so forth. And then the TV series, of course, was one that we probably all know. Want You to Meet the Family, known as the Real McCoys. So here's a song that he sang, and it's a gospel song that I think you'll find quite good.
While resting one evening by the side of the road, I seen an old farmer in a field he'd just hoed. His face was all brown and wrinkled by the wind, and he was talking to the Lord just like he'd be talking to a friend. "Well, sir," he said in a voice calm and quiet, "them corn tassels need sacking, but I got no string to tie it. Had no rain in so long that the fields is mighty dusty. It's been so unbearable hot that the kids are even getting fussy. Now that grass down in the pasture should be knee-high. If we could just have a little shower, Lord, it might keep the cow from going dry." Listen to me talking, you'd think I wasn't grateful. "Why, if you didn't know me so well, Lord, you'd think I was downright hateful. You'd think I forgot about the new calf that you sent, the money in the mail that took care of the rent, Ma's cold is better and Johnny's home from the Navy, and that good Sunday dinner of chicken dumplings and gravy. The new preacher you sent us, Lord, he sure is a fine young man. Why, he's just converting them sinners to beat the band. Well, guess I'll be moseying along, Lord. Won't take no more of your time. Guess there's plenty of folks hereabouts waiting to ring your line. Evening to you, Lord, and watch over us tonight. And don't you worry none about us, Lord, 'cause everything's going to be just all right."
Walter Brennan, and you know, he starred in a TV series in the late 60s. Some of you old television watchers probably remember, and you know, it was an interesting show, a program, The Guns of Will Sonnet, looking for his son and his grandson's father. You know, Dak Rambo was in that series, and Dak Rambo was in a lot of trouble, and I guess his brother Dick had gotten killed in an automobile accident, the other actor, and Dak was involved with all kinds of parties in Hollywood and got involved with bisexuals and drugs, and he wound up apparently dying of AIDS. But he said that Walter Brennan had an influence on him. He talked to him on the set and off the set and tried to help him come, you know, to salvation. So I don't know in the end what happened with him, but I do know that Walter Brennan had been quite a counselor and quite an influence on people. And we're thankful for that. Okay, we'll take a break. We have a lot more coming, and we'll invite your participation. We'll open up the lines as we go along. Rick Adams, Uncensored, here on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's half past the hour, and Rick Adams Uncensored with you here on republicbroadcasting.org. Boy, I tell you, if I've ever seen the times in a political sense, now political history, secular history, not always biblical history, but obviously there's coinciding here. You know, it reminds me of that time in history, of the Roman Empire. And Rome really didn't fall as an empire. Most people do not understand that. What happened to Rome was it was a republic at first, like America. And then it began to change. The Romans, who once revered God, who once had revered a system of order and a system of decency, morality, and taking care of their own people rather than becoming internationalistic, suddenly became, well, maybe not suddenly, but over a period of a very short time, started to become degenerate, more debauched, and then became a democracy. And from a democracy, it became an empire. So it was not the Roman Empire falling that was the great story of Rome in her grandeur and Rome in her debauchery. It was the story of the fall of the Republic, and that was something that unfortunately radiated throughout the history of the world. And in America today, we can see incredible parallels. Now, years ago, and not too many years ago, I replayed it on this program. It was the Taylor Caldwell, the internationally renowned American novelist, Taylor Caldwell's story of Honoria. And that story was capsulized and then broadcast on the Dan Smoot Report in 1960. She had written it in 1957, I believe, and then it became published in a shortened form on the Dan Smoot Report. And he was reading the script, the story, the novel, and the short story of this land that was called Honoria. And nobody really knew what it meant until they heard the rest of the story. So I want to play for you in this half hour that story. It's about 9 minutes and change. And listen very carefully. And now you can incorporate, when you hear the whole story, the nonsense and the polemical foolishness that you've been hearing for the past 5 or 6 weeks about impeachment and about abuse of power and about what is law and what is not law and how wonderful things are in America today with a K and how beautiful, beautiful everything is turning out to be. In the end, we will save you all. The messages are pathetic. The historical inaccuracies and the modern-day falsettos are just, you know, they're just obvious. They're resplendent. So I want you to think about what you've been told has happened and should happen in America today vis-a-vis this Trump dialectic, if you will, against the backdrop of history. So right now I want to play the story of Honoria as told by internationally renowned American novelist Taylor Caldwell. Listen carefully.
Once upon a time, some courageous men, wanting to be free, became pilgrims and migrated to an uncivilized land inhabited only by barbarians. When they landed in that savage region, they stood upon a great rock. There they did homage to their God for guiding them during their arduous journey. To this day, that rock is one of the most famous monuments in the world. One of the first things they did was to build a house of worship. They had a special day in the year for giving thanks, and they would walk through the silent fields and wild forests on that day, armed and watchful against the savages. The pilgrims were stern, believing in hard work and self-discipline, intolerant of wrongdoing. They had no patience with the weak and degenerate, who, if they are pampered, become the cancer of a nation. Their tiny villages became towns and then cities. Other colonists came and established other colonies. Under the shadow of old, powerful nations, they had one thing in common. They had fled from oppression. They had had enough of endless wars, endless taxation, endless bureaucrats, endless arrogant rulers. The colonies flourished. The breath of freedom blew over them like a mighty wind, clear, sharp, invigorating, stirring men's souls, lighting up their hearts, strengthening their arms, making their spirits incandescent. Cobbled streets began to ring with the footsteps of great men, with the sound of heroic voices. In this cluster of colonies we have called Honoria. Then one of the old countries, despising the simplicity and moral laws of the colonies, sent tax agents to the big city of the pilgrims. Word of the terror ran through the colonies like the sound of a drum awakening free men to the knowledge of peril. The colonies sent their greatest men as representatives to a general assembly of all the colonies. They looked about for a leader and found him, a prosperous gentleman farmer, but a man of learning. He united the colonies and became known as the father of his country. The new nation had two houses of government. The most powerful was the Senate. No one could be elected to the Senate unless he was a man of honor, patriotism and religion. But that was in the early days of the Republic. Honoria, in those days, distrusted militarism, hated wars. Her ideal was freedom under God. The senators knew they must support the Republic and shun intrigue with foreign nations, or suffer severe punishment. For a long time, the senators did not betray their people. A civil war divided the Republic ultimately, a bloody, fratricidal war. After that war and the vengeance which followed, Honoria enjoyed power and prosperity, but she mysteriously changed direction. Tens of thousands of new immigrants came to Honoria from the old countries. Some were like the ancient pilgrims, fleeing from oppression. But many came because Honoria was rich, and they cared nothing for her traditions. The Republic, which had grown strong by not engaging in foreign entanglements, now became entangled. What was the purpose of the entanglements? Oh, the leaders said alliances were necessary to defend the civilized world. But the real purpose was to satisfy the greedy ambitions and allay the sickly fears of the leaders. The alliances brought wars, and the wars brought taxes. But the citizens of Honoria did not resist, because war also brought an increase in trade and industry. The citizens of Honoria, enjoying their new prosperity, did not mind the taxation at first. Their leaders had told them it would be imposed only on the rich. The silly citizens nodded their heads. Let the rich fellows pay and support the rest of the country. The citizens were beginning to think of security. They wanted public auditoriums for sports, paid for by tax money. They wanted pensions, support at public expense when they felt disinclined to work. And more citizens were becoming disinclined to work. Buying support from greedy groups and minorities, government became all-powerful. It guaranteed to protect people from all the forces of nature, floods, hurricanes, landslides, failure of crops, taxation grew, and freedom withered. Honoria had been distinguished by a strong, industrious middle class, composed of farmers, artisans, shopkeepers. But the middle class opposed an all-powerful government, which used tax money to buy political support from the worthless, the loafers, the whining cowards who wanted everything for nothing. Government decided to get rid of the middle class. Then the political elite could rule by oppression, and the cowards and the worthless could live on the bodies of the noble and the heroic through taxation. But the greedy mobs could never be satisfied. They always howled for more. Government built huge housing projects with swimming pools and free food. Within a year or two, the housing projects became slums, for people with slum personalities inhabited them. The swimming pools collected garbage, but still the howl went up for more, and the politicians, now the creatures of the mobs, tried to provide everything the mobs demanded. And the middle class, the backbone of the nation, they dared not have children. They couldn't afford them. They worked in vain trying to get ahead of their tax bill, trying to live, trying to keep their schools alive for their children. The middle class, the hard-working, the proud, the self-reliant, slowly smothered from despair. Who cared? The mob had a full belly today, and the government promised to fill it again tomorrow. Freedom? Why, the people did not want freedom. They wanted free entertainment, free bread, free housing. An evil old man, crippled and malformed, led the nation into more wars and foreign entanglements. He was the ruler of Honoria. Patriots were considered scoundrels. The rulers of Honoria were tools, not only of the mobs, but of foreigners. An old general, who had been victimized by the government, stood up and cried aloud to Honoria to remember her past, to return to honor, to the principles of the founding fathers, to God. The people howled that he was a warmonger. A senator dared to stand up in the Senate and cry a halt to foreign subversion of Honoria and to the foreign aid and the draining away of the people's money. The other senators shrieked him down and called him vile names. Honoria joined a league of the world with her enemies. They exploited Honoria. she taxed her citizens more and more to send her wheat and her meat to those nations. Foreign tyrants and domestic mobs called the tune, and the spineless rulers of Honoria danced. The walls of government ended to the ever-growing demands of foreign aid. More security, more bread, more sports, more government, more restrictions on the proud and the self-respecting. Finally, the foreign barbarians, who had grown strong on the wealth of Honoria, while Honoria, rotted from within, moved in and took over. What is the real name of Honoria? Ancient Rome. After Rome fell, there was a long black night of slavery and despair. Nearly 2,000 years stand between us and Rome. Yet never before did two nations so fearfully resemble each other in history, in grandeur, in wealth. In strange and amazing ways, we are the counterpart of ancient Rome. So long as Rome remained Rome, patriotic, proud, and virtuous, she remained a powerful nation. When she became internationalistic, permitting her rulers to become dictators, to enmesh Rome with the problems of aliens, and bankrupted her own people to support those aliens, Rome began to die. Can America be saved from the fate of Rome? She can if Americans still have courage. Do they have courage? Many of the most prosperous and influential among us do not. They are afraid to resist the policies of all-powerful government. Afraid of social ostracism, afraid of public attacks in the press, afraid of losing business, afraid of losing votes. Above all, they fear persecution by the Internal Revenue Service. But if we do not begin to fight, our nation will die within our lifetime. We fight now, or our posterity will be enslaved. We need fear no foreign invasion. We shall be destroyed by our enemies within, if we are destroyed. If we fight now, we have a good chance to remain free.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. And folks, remember now, this was in the 1960 era. I don't think anybody who's listening or not listening will disagree with the fact that we have continued that steady decline since then in the last, well, the last 50 or 60 years. It's just about at the bottom now. And that point of collapse, that point of destruction, implosion, if you will, has now arrived. And unfortunately, you know, people can nod their heads and say, yeah, isn't it terrible, you know, but it'll be my grandchildren that'll have to face it. I won't be here. Thank God I'll be gone, you know. They don't realize the imminence of what's going to happen. Above all, now it's a scriptural matter. It's a biblical matter. It's a matter of God's vengeance on his people and on the whole world. He's expressing his displeasure. Well, they're turning their chins up to him and lifting their fists in contempt of his laws. He says, this is the way it's got to be, and if you don't, you'll suffer. If you do what I tell you to do and obey, you'll prosper. So it's pretty clear that America is not being blessed today. Yet all of these evangelicals and all of these fundamentalists and all of these preachers come down the pike saying, if God would listen to our prayers and hear what America does for Israel, the state of Israel, and if the state of Israel just is blessed so much more by America with more money, more bombs, more missiles, more warplanes and so forth, more of those wonderful things, then America, too, will be blessed. And that's the John Hagee message and the message of Falwell and Robertson and LaHaye and, you know, a host of others. If only we'd give them more. And I don't think there's any more that we can give. They've taken just about everything. And most people will say, yeah, we're sick of tyranny, we're sick of this and that. But most of all, they've taken our soul. We've let them take our identity and our soul. And the result has been pauperization, the, if you will, castration of America to the point where it no longer knows its identity. It no longer is that proud and independent sovereign nation, the Honoria of ancient Rome's time. So, folks, this is history. This is secular, true history. And yet, history does repeat itself, doesn't it? Now, against this, you looked at what took place this week, and you heard the screech and the squeal from the Pelosis and the Schumers and the Nadlers and so on and so forth. You heard it all, as well as the Republicans bantering back and forth, making outrageous claims and statements about the progress America has made. And you know better. You see it only as what I see it as, one big massive farce, and it's all orchestrated by the sons and daughters of Cain. We'll come back, folks, with your calls.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can...
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be coming up on the end of this hour, and we'll be entering the second hour. And before we leave today, I'm going to give you some audio from a film that was made many years ago. A short film was made educationally speaking for students, but it was the story of Silent Night and how it came to be. And I think you'll find that to be also a dovetail with what I'm talking about. Christian Europe, Christian America, a thing of the past. The nation's under attack by Satan and his children, and what they've done to America and to Europe and to all of the other Adamic Caucasian nations has been to denude them and implode them and create the conditions of division and war. And that's what this circus is all about in Washington. Trump is essential. The stereotypical Donald Trump is essential to creating this great divide and this occupation to come. Think about in those terms, and understand, detached from all of the polemics and all of the propaganda, what's really happening to America, and who's behind it, and how they're relishing in this, because most people don't have a clue as to what America is all about. Imagine crediting Donald Trump for at least not withholding military or lethal aid to the Ukrainian Republic, and knowing darn right well that America's founding fathers would cringe at the thought of there being any such thing as military foreign aid or involvement with any of the nations, particularly back home in Europe. That's the quintessence of anti-Americanism. Now let's go to the phones. We've got a few calls. 1-800-313-9443. And first we have Ken in Fort Worth. Hello, Ken.
Hello there. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, first off.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, years ago, I used to live in Indiana, and I knew a guy that was an engineer for Paul Harvey. He'd take the train in Chicago every day, and he worked with him, you know. Anyway, mm-hmm. personal. And, hey, I say a couple things. I think the reason why Pelosi bailed out, it's cold in Washington, and she evidently had something to go out, to get an airplane and go fly to a warm place for a while just to get rid of, you know, get out of her hair, you know, for a while. That's what it looks like to me. And I just sent, I've been sending Pelosi postcards, and I put the titles of books with the word conspiracy in the title. And she's probably going some island reading them right now.
Don't count on it. I don't think she's actually read one postcard or a letter in a long time. Her staff will take care of that, and she knows the pulse of the people in her district that she represents. So, I mean, it's like I used to do this with my congressman, and I would get responses sometimes, but they were scripted responses. And you know just by the response from the staffer that the congressman never read it, you know, in most cases. Now, some cases they did. But I will tell you, for the most part, if they get a volume of mail every day, they're not going to be able to sit down and read it. And quite frankly, all they care about is the prevailing winds, Ken. You know, what are the prevailing winds? What can I get out of this? It's not about America. You see, it's all about the empire falling.
Anyway, I just wrote her a postcard, and I told her that I told her about Tommy Buckley and the Treasury Gate story, and Tommy Buckley told me the bonds were got from Indonesia through Edison Damanaki, U.S. Monitor, and I told her that I wrote President Trump and told him that the bonds that they were snatched from him were put in the Dallas Federal Courthouse. So maybe he's got them, maybe he went to get them, maybe he's going to go get them, but it's about time that he does something with them, you know.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you. Ken, you were involved in the Birch Society, weren't you? Didn't you tell us that?
Yeah. I was in a Birch Society when we got Florida and Alabama to withdraw the call for the Constitutional Convention with a balanced budget amendment. Mm-hmm. There's still three.
You remember
about
the God Family and Country rallies at all?
I know. I was a fellow traveling with them for quite a while. I took one of their little flyers. They went over and talked to the congressman. I said, they're radical. They're crazy. You know, I said, is it true? That's all I want to know.
I know it. I hear you. Thank you. Hey, Ken.
Okay.
Good to hear your voice.
Good talk to you.
You have a good Christmas. Thank you, sir. All right. We got a break for the hour. We'll come back with Brent and you. 800-313-9443. Rick Adams on the censor.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.